Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. I've got this week and next week. So I was hoping to have a little more time to touch on a couple of other things, but we won't have that. So we're going to get through chapter 6 best we can, and I think I can make it to the end and do it the service it belongs, that it deserves. But Matt, you, or I think Matt is going to be teaching in 1 Peter, if I remember right. This is the next class after that. But in Ephesians chapter 6, if you recall, and I keep reminding us every time, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be talking about doing battle. But in Ephesians chapter 1, it begins with Paul saying that we need to walk in a manner that's worthy of our calling. If you recall, I've told you, and I don't apologize for this, because this is something we really need to take to heart. We need to understand that Paul has taught, this is who you are, this is what God has done for you, this is your identity of being a Christian or being in Christ, that you've been chosen, that you've been predestined for adoption, that you've been redeemed, you've been forgiven, and you're a child of God, and the list goes on. This is what God has done for you. He's done for me. And then in the last three chapters, what Paul is doing is he's identifying, here is your response to that, or this is your responsibility for how you walk now in order to walk worthy. This is what it looks like. And he's went through that, and he's talked to us as far as being, if you will, light. He's talked to us about our lives as husbands and wives, as children, as in the workplace, and all of that. He's identified every one of us fit at least one or more of those ideas that Paul has brought to us. Many times we fit in two or three categories. So now he comes to chapter 6, and in verse 10, he begins chapter 6, verse 10, with this word, finally. So he's about to the end of it, and he says, finally, my brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're still talking about walking worthy. If you're going to walk worthy, according to the calling that you've been called, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. And I want to take just a little time for us to understand why he would say that. And he's going to expound on that a lot. And I'm going to expound on that a lot, because I'll be honest with you, early in my life, I didn't take this all that serious. Oh yeah, we're in a battle. Okay. You know, you know, when you're young and dumb, you're bulletproof and you think you can go through anything on your own. Well, you can't here. If you think you can do this on your own, you've already lost the battle. We are in a spiritual battle. I cannot impress that enough. We are in a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. He says, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But we are in a strong a battle, and it's a spiritual battle, and we have to be strong in the Lord. I want you to understand, you can't be strong in yourself. If you think that you can go through this battle and rely upon what you've got and everything that you are, you've already lost the battle. So many times people, you know, they think that they can overcome all of these things in life. Really, in reality, we need God and his strength to overcome anything that the devil is going to give us. And he's going to hit us with a lot of stuff through life. So God is the one that gives us the strength. And that says a lot to us, because it depends upon our faith then, if we're going to trust in him to give us what we need. And when we humble ourselves to a point where we'll let him give us what we need when we need it. The power to endure. We do not have the strength to win the battle. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says that I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So maybe there's a good place to start, is understanding that we have to be attached to Jesus. And everything that's flowing into us is coming from Jesus of a spiritual nature. He says, I'm the vine. And he says, you can't do anything without me. And how many times do we go out here in the world and think, well, I've got this today. You just blew that one. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus also says that it's the Spirit that gives life to us. Are we beginning to maybe see the picture? Our strength comes from being in Jesus and letting him be, if you will, our whole essence of being. He is our strength. So I want to go on to verse 11, and he says, put on the whole armor of God. I want to just stop there. Put on the whole armor. Well, let's read the whole thing. I'll come back. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I think some of you will have a version that says you're standing against the schemes, right? Wiles, schemes. Just understand that it's the trickery and the backdoor stuff that the devil is looking to throw at you. The trickery. The things that you're really not prepared for. But notice what he says. Put on the whole armor of God. What's armor for? A battle? Protection? Let me ask you something. And just picture yourself as, back in this day and time, you're going out into battle as a Roman soldier or some soldier in that day and time. And you run out there and you got your helmet on, but you don't have a breastplate, you don't have a shield, you don't have any other protection on. Are you really protected from a battle? No, you're not even close to protected. So it's interesting whenever he says, put on the whole armor of God. He doesn't say just put on some of it. We need every piece of armor that God is going to provide. And notice it's going to be God who's going to give us or provide for us everything that we need for this battle. Again, you can't do this battle alone. You can't do it without God. You're going to lose. So he says, put on the whole armor. I want you to stop and think for a minute. If I'm going to run out into battle and I put my helmet on and they're shooting arrows at me, what good is that helmet? Or they're throwing spears at me. What good is that helmet? I need some protection for my body, right? Or if I just run out there and I'm running out there with just a breastplate on, is my head really protected? What happens if they throw something and hit me in the head? I'm probably going to fall. I think about David and Goliath. You know, he was protected, but yet God seen David through because David came to him with God. David is able to overcome because he's got God on his side. So as we sit here and we look at this armor that God is providing, he says, I'm going to give you everything you need to be able to stand against the devil. And I want to bring something out here. Verse 11. He talks this word stand and withstand four times if I counted right. But he talks in verse 11, he says that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13, he says, take up the whole armor of God so that you can do all that you can to withstand, if you will. And he goes on down there and he says, and that you have done all to stand. Go on down in the next verse, verse 14, he says, stand therefore. This is about being able to stand and do battle. not run and flee, but to be able to stand and do battle when the devil comes at you. The devil is going to come at you, and he is going to attack you in ways that you don't dream, don't even fathom. And I think if we've been around long enough as Christians, we can see that. You see how he comes at you, and he's always looking for a place to get his foot in the door. Or he's trying to look at a place where he can come at you from the backside. Gerald? Sure, the heart. You do. You have to protect your heart. And we're going to talk about all of that in a lot of detail here as we get into this. I used to, you know how easy it is to just read through Scripture, but not really let it soak in. And Paul says, I want you to understand that you are in a battle for your spiritual life. And you need to get this armor on, and you need to use it. And only by using it the way God says it needs to be used is it going to protect you. So, the devil is smart. He's going to use trickery. He's going to use deceitfulness. But Paul wants you to understand you can stand against the devil. It's a message of hope. It's not a message of you know, you've lost. This is a message of hope that with the power of God, you can stand against the devil in anything. And you know how I know that's true? When you look at the life of Christ, and whenever the devil came to him, who won the battle? Every time. Christ. Because he's prepared his mind, he's prepared himself to live and use the power of God to enable him to withstand anything that the devil throws at him. And you know, many times we just talk about the three temptations that Jesus went through when he comes out of the wilderness. No, Jesus went through temptations every day, just like you and I do. But yet he was able to stand and overcome the devil and his temptations every day. I think of another time or another example of a person who's able to stand in times of distress, in times of battle, and that's if you go back to the book of Job. If you remember, you get a picture of Satan, if you will, and God having this conversation about Job, who is a very godly, righteous person, if you will. And Satan stands before God and he says, well, sure he's going to be good to you and trust you and worship you because you've put a hedge around him. I can't do anything to him. Why would God do that? And so God says, well, I'll tell you what, you can sift him, but, you know, here's the line. God knows exactly where your breaking point is. Do you not think that God knows exactly what we're going to go through before we ever go through it? He knows the temptations that we're going to face. And he says, and I have power over the devil. You have to choose to put that armor on. I'll protect you. And so he tells Satan, he says, you can sift him. You just can't kill him. Who won that battle? Job. Even though all of his friends and everybody were giving him advice, just curse God and let him kill you. Nope. I'm going to do right. And God protected him. He was able to overcome. So evil comes in many forms, and it messes with your life, it messes with my life, and it tears people's lives up day after day after day. Evil's all around us, folks, and you can't help but walk out these doors and see it. And you see the result of the spiritual evil that's in the world just by what's going on in the physical in the world. You can't help but see it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Why? Verse 13, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, Paul wants us to open our eyes and see we are in a spiritual battle. The devil is not some cute little guy with a red suit and a little pitchfork and sitting there, you know, on your one shoulder telling you do this, and then the angels sitting over here going, no, don't do that. You know, the world has a funny way of making evil look cute, doesn't it? That's not the devil. That's not Satan. Paul says, I want you to open your eyes and understand you're in a spiritual battle for your life. And you need to be getting yourself prepared for battle. And you need to prepare your mind before it ever comes along. I'm ready for battle. I'm ready for battle. Because here's what we're facing. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. It's against powers. It's against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts. He says, it's something you really can't see of a spiritual nature. But we see the outcome of it, as I said, in the world and the evil that goes on in the world. Here people all say, well, you know, how did it get this bad? Where do people get this from? And I'm going, it's real easy. It's called the devil. He's the ruler of this world. If it's not from God, it's probably not good. Why is this so important? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I want you to stop right there. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. This is why it's important. Take up the whole armor, not some of it, part of it, most of it, all of it, that you're able to withstand. Again, there's that idea of you've got to do it before the incident happens. And you can go through and you can look at certain characters in the Bible. One of them is Joseph, whenever he's approached by Potiphar's wife. And he's sitting there going, I can't do this before my God. He's already made his mind up to do right, no matter what the situation is. And you can look at other examples in the Bible, no different with Job. He already knows how he's going to respond to whatever comes along. He's going to do right. You can look at all that. They have made their mind up before they were ever tested. Here is where I stand. And I can't do anything wrong against my God. They prepared their mind to do right. I don't know about you. Whenever he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. You've done it all. Take it in. Get prepared to stand so you can stand. Stand. I don't know about you. You ever stop and think? It just sounds kind of ominous to me that I'm fighting something I can't even see out there. I don't know about you, but that just, it's almost incomprehensible that I'm doing battle, because it's real easy to do battle with something tangible that you can put your hands on. But whenever you're sitting there trying to do battle with something you can't even see, so it's a fight, if you will, or a battle that's going on internally within you. It's decisions that have to be made within you on how you're going to respond to certain actions or situations or things that are thrown at you from the devil. It may be in the form of another person and things they say, things they do, but where's it really coming from? It's coming from the devil. How am I going to respond to that? Well, I have to have made my decision before I ever have encountered that situation. That means we have to think a little bit about how we're going to respond before we even respond. Preparing yourself for the evil of the days, if you will. And like I said, in verse 13, to me this gives us hope, or it gives me hope to understand that I can overcome. I can overcome. The battle's not lost if I'll do it God's way, if I'll take up the armor, if I'll follow His will, if I'll take His armor up and put it on. The battle's not lost. I can know I'm going to overcome. But I won't have to take up some of this armor and really utilize it in a way, not some of the armor, all of the armor, but put it to use in my life. Okay, so I've said enough about that. Thoughts or comments before we start? Yes. Yes. And that's a good point. You know, yes, that is a good point, because they, when they went out to battle, they did. They went out in groups also. Right. So, yeah. And that is it's a good point, because we have to understand that, you know, a lot of times we're doing battle as a group. And I don't want to get too far off track, but a lot of times when one of our brothers or sisters in Christ is struggling or suffering or whatever, what's the best thing we can do for them? Pray for them. Be there for them. Help them through that time. Because the devil's working on them. Tearing them down hurts the body, right? Again, it gets very intricate. And I don't have the time to go into all that, but I appreciate that comment. But I want you to stop and think, whenever Paul talks about putting on the armor, it's interesting where he starts. What's the first piece that you would think of? Don't look at your Bibles, but if I were to tell you, get ready, we're going into battle. All of you get ready, we're going into battle. What's the first piece of armor you would think to put on? The breastplate? What'd you say, Jerry? Sword? Pardon? Helmet? We haven't even gotten close. And I'm like you. When I get ready to go out and do something, the last thing I think of when I'm going to do battle is put a belt on. But it's interesting, that's where Paul starts. And you know there's a reason for it. After you stop and you really think about it. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The first thing he says is, gird your waist with truth. Huh. What's a belt for? Hold your pants up. If you're like me, I really don't need a belt anymore. They stay up because my belly's big enough to hold them up anyway. Okay. Right. In that day and time, and that's good. I mean, you know, whenever you went out there, you had everything on your belt. You were prepared. You had, you know, all your gear on. But when they went out, they didn't have all that. They've got this cloak or whatever, and he says, put this on. Well, The last thing you want is if you're going out into battle and you're going to especially be doing hand-to-hand combat, like, oh, that robe. I wish I'd done something with that robe. Get everything pulled together so you can actually move and function like you should. Get yourself pulled together. Get everything bound up as it should be. Get it all in where it needs to be so you can at least start doing something that you need to be doing while you're in battle. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'm out here in the field working. I'm in the construction industry. And so I'm out there and it's hot. You know, it's winter time and all of a sudden it's hot and I've got this big heavy coat on and all these extra clothes trying to stay warm. And then I'm out there working and all of a sudden I'm hot. And so I unzip the coat and then I've got the safety vest and I've got to unzip that and all that stuff's out here flying in the wind and I'm trying to work. And I tell you, you don't know how annoying it is to try and work whenever you're sitting there in the wind or you're trying to do something and all that stuff's just flying because the wind's flying at 10, 15, 20 miles an hour and it's just flying around in your way. Especially when you're sitting on top of a 12-inch girder trying to not fall off 50 foot in the air. It's just unhandy as can be. Zip your coat back up, put everything back together and sweat because I'm going to fall off this thing and get killed in a minute. So you learn that maybe you need to get everything wrapped up so the first thing is you're prepared to do battle. Well, interestingly enough, he says, saying, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So let's just talk about the belt of truth or the girding yourself with truth. Is truth important? How important is truth? Let's just stop and think about truth for a minute. How important is truth? The standard of our lives remains and always will remain the standard. Truth will be the standard. Let me put it to you like this. You're driving down the road. And let's just say you're driving 65 miles an hour and the speed limit is 55. And that policeman stands over there and in that car, he's sitting in that car with that little gun. And it shows, 65 miles an hour. I believe I'll pull him over. And he pulls you over and he says, well, you're doing 65 miles an hour. Do you realize how fast you're going? Well, yes, sir, I do. He says, well, why are you doing 65 into 55? And you sit there and you say, well, I know it says 55, but that's for most people. For me, it's okay to go 65 because I'm a good driver. Actually, I can drive 75 and still be a good driver. What's the standard? 55? You've broke the standard of truth. You drive up to a stoplight. Red means stop. Yellow means hurry up and get through, right? And it's okay to go through as it turns red if you're halfway through, right? Isn't that the standard of most people? Green means just go ahead and go. And you come up there, and it's red. And you go, well, I'm going anyway. I'm in a hurry. And the policeman pulls you over, and he says, you ran a red light. Well, I was in a hurry. The standard is still red means stop. Your idea of the standard being whatever you want it to be doesn't hold up to the standard of here's the law. This is the standard that we go by in the world. There is a standard of truth. So whenever it comes to us doing battle against the devil, is there a standard to be held to? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Is that not what Jesus said? I am the truth. The Word of God is the standard. I don't care what the world says about any political statements they want to give out here in the world today about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. There is still a standard of God's Word that is truth. You have to prepare yourself to do battle in this world against Satan and all of the ideas of the world with the standard of truth. And the minute that we are willing to compromise that standard, you've taken that piece of armor and just thrown it out the window. John 17:7, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. I can't be any more plain than your word is truth. So God's word becomes, if you will, the measurement of everything that we go through in this life. Is it according to God's word? And I say that to say this, even in the world of religion, there are a lot of religions out here that have their standard of truth. Yes? Where did they get it from? It's interesting because in my conversations with people from time to time about religion, they go, well, I believe this, and I go here, and I believe that, and I go there, and, you know, what do you think about this? And what? And I'll tell them, I said, it's like this. I'm going to just, because there are a lot of them are church shopping, and they don't like what I've got to tell them. But I finally I said, I'll tell you what. You sit there, and we've had this conversation, and I said, I've showed you something here in Scripture that says, what you're doing is really not right. Well, I know it's not right, but I like where we go because, you know, I like the guy that preaches. I like the singing. I like the choir. I like this. I like that. And I'm going, wait a minute. If it's against God's word, how can you say it's okay? I said, ultimately, let me give you one piece of advice. And the conversation always ends when I give them this piece of advice. If you read your Bible and you see that you're doing something in that denomination, and I'm just going to call them what they are, they're denominations. If you see something in that denomination that's not according to God's word, you want to know what I'm going to tell you to do? Run. Get away from it. It's not according to God's word. Find a place. Find a group of people who want to do according to God's word. That's where you need to be. Conversation always stops. And you know why? You know why? They're really not seeking truth. They want to please themselves. They want to have God with them as much as is comfortable with them. But here's where I draw the line, God. Now, God, you need to meet me here. It doesn't work that way. God's word is the standard that you and I and every person who walks the face of this earth, every person will be judged by. How important is truth? It's critical. Yes, sir.
Thinking about how Paul, when he's instructing Titus in the two letters, which he is really preparing these young men to bring the gospel message into the world, he's starting to come to prison to know that he's reaching towards the end of his life. And all those letters, the first thing he commands them is the accurate handling of God's message and accurately handling the word and to reprove those that do not. He's very clear that that should be.
It is. And you're right. I mean, and I'll say that. I agree with you totally. I mean, he's saying, you know, we need to handle it accurately. We need to be preparing. And we talked in earlier about, you know, as parents, as husbands, as wives, our children, we need to be preparing them for truth. That's a critical thing in parenting and husbands to their wives and everything. We need to be working together to stand and affirm truth. Because if you don't have truth, everything else you put on really is for nothing. Because if you're not following truth, you're following a lie. Wait. Exactly. Right. And you're right. You know, we teach by the things that we do. Right. You're right. If it's not that bad, then there is still something bad. Yeah. Truth has to be the standard. I don't know that I want to start the next one. Let's just stop and think about this for just a moment, though. The world lives in darkness. This kind of goes along with what you're saying, Wayne. If it's not that bad, there's still an element of bad. The world lives in darkness. And we live in a world that's full of darkness. And I taught this to you a while back. We're supposed to be light. So if we're going to be light, that means we have to be looking for and shining forth with truth. Are you going to be rejected because of that? Are you going to be made fun of because of that? Do you think the devil's not going to entice you to give up a little bit on the truth and sit there and go, well, it's really not that bad. A little bad. Let's see, how's it go? A little leaven does what? Leavens the whole loaf. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. If you let one little piece of error in, it just grows. How important is truth? We have to really be careful with truth. Okay, I'm going to stop there. We're going to pick up there. And next week we're going to talk about putting on, if you will, a breastplate of righteousness. We'll pick up there and go on. Okay, thank you for your time.